Thank you, guys. Awesome. Good song and reflection, and that God is good. God is with us. We've been looking at the topic of the fruit of the Spirit is patience this morning, found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. That's obviously where we find the fruit of the Spirit. And so, as I begin, patience. As I was thinking about this topic of patience, it seems simple, but actually I found it quite profound, and when I started digging into the Word of God a little bit further, I found that it's an amazing topic, and we need to consider in a more, I guess, holistic way, this whole thing about patience, which is a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is really an admirable quality, a fruit of the Spirit that, in fact, few, including Christians, seem to possess or display in their lives. By the way, just hang on a bit. How long was that? About a minute? Felt like five. Most were getting impatient, right? Like, when is he coming back? What is he doing back there? Like, it's amazing how quickly, even in a minute of silence, we get impatient. It's just how we've been geared. According to God's word, the believer's life is to be characterized by patience. It is the fruit that God, the Holy Spirit, desires to produce in and through his people. That's what God desires. We live in a very high-strung, impatient age. We hurry, in fact, we hurry where there is no reason to hurry. We just hurry along in life. This fast-paced age that we live in has produced more problems and less morality than previous generations. We are bombarded with waves of the latest breaking news, fast food, I mean, overnight delivery. We can't wait for that delivery parcel to come overnight. We want it now. Instant information, search on our electric or our electronic devices. I mean, we got to know it now. Most of us, what do? We want to know something? What do? Oh, let's Google it. Man, I think, how many people Google everything? It's the first thing we think of. You know what it's caused us? It's caused us intense stress, tangled nerves, ugly, and actually harmful reactions. Impatience, or the lack of yielding to the Spirit of God, allowing him to produce patience, the fruit of patience in us, has produced a crop of broken marriages. Yes, much of broken marriages can be traced distinctly back to impatience. Think about it. It's huge. It's big. Broken homes because of impatience. Broken homes. Not only that, there's more. Not only broken marriages, broken homes, broken churches due to impatience, ulcers, sickness, disease, and even destroying the believer's testimony for the sake of the gospel and the glory of God. Sometimes because we're so impatient and the fruit of the Spirit, we are not yielding to allow the fruit of patience to be demonstrated to come alive in our life. And we actually lose our testimony. See, this timeless virtue of patience is invaded by a powerful tide of things too numerous to mention. Let's look, first of all, at patience according to vines. Vines, patience is the quality of that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It is the opposite of despondency and is associated with hope. Now, let's kind of keep that in mind and look secondly at the Old Testament concept of patience. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, we find clearly the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and then the NIV, the new NIV says forbearance, and we will find that patience, the word long-suffering, forbearance is patience, and so here it says forbearance. But let's look at the Old Testament concept. First of all, patience is a significant concept in the Hebrew Scriptures. It is rather significant, in fact, that we find its first use in one of the early lists of the attributes of God. Patience is actually an attribute of the living God. So we find that in Exodus 34, verse 6, an adjective describing the attributes of God, of Yahweh. When Moses chiseled out two stone tablets for the second time, as the Lord had commanded him to do, after he broke the first ones, the Lord came down in a cloud, and then what happened, according to Exodus 34, he passed in front of Moses, and God was proclaiming as he passed in front of Moses, he proclaimed this, the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, patient, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. God himself refers to Yahweh himself as being slow to anger. That's patience, my friends. That's the Old Testament concept of patience. So the Hebrew word translated long-suffering or slow to anger is one of the most commonly used in the Old Testament to indicate patience. So to better understand this lesson on patience is by looking at the terms that define its opposite. What's the opposite of patience? Impatience. Steve got it right. Impatience. Yeah, it's impatience for sure. So, the opposite of slow to anger would be by exhausting one's patience to the point of causing wrath and bringing about discipline. If God wasn't slow to anger, he would be quick. He would be quick to mete out wrath and discipline. But he declared himself to be slow to anger. And we know that to be true. You look at the word of God, and God is slow to anger. That's who he is. He declared himself that way. The opposite would be to be quick to, you know, causing wrath, to really let his wrath fall on people. So ancient Israel had a way of doing that with God. See, their prophets found it necessary to remind them that Jehovah's long-suffering could eventually end and discipline would be dealt out. We find an example of that in Isaiah 7, verse 13, and it says this, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Well, that's not enough, seemingly. Will you try the patience of God also?" Didn't Israel, even God's people, try the patience of God? Absolutely, they did. You know, they were disobedient and rebelling again and again and again, trying the patience of God. Wow. So this particular passage, interestingly enough, comes just before one of the Old Testament's primary prophecies of the promised Messiah. How would that ever line up? There must have been, you know, God, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, must have inspired them to write this so that we could connect that today. You know, impatience and God's people provoking God's or testing God's patience. And then God goes on to, you know, share this prophetic word about the Messiah who would come and deliver us. So these two verses combined tell us what? They tell us that the proper end of true patience is righteous judgment. The proper end of true patience is righteous judgment. So what did God do? God You know, let the full force of his wrath fall on his son. Yes, God's patience has an end, but he let it fall on Jesus. That's why we're having communion today. You see how this even fits into communion? The patience of God, and he let the full wrath fall on Jesus, his son, Jesus Christ, so that what we deserved, the judgment, which is the end of true patience, his righteous judgment, didn't fall on us, but it fell on Jesus. Are we getting that? That's an amazing message, my friends, so that we might be free instead. Wow, I am so glad that God is so good. Like, isn't that amazing? God is good. You know, a good way to understand the Old Testament relating to patience and impatience is to think of it in relating to two words, long and short. Easy to remember. So you can walk away here today and remembering long and short. Patience equals long. How? Keeping anger in check, enduring hardships, waiting for goodness, truth, and righteousness to prevail for a long time. So if you think about patience, think about long. It equals long, keeping in check, anger, enduring, right? That's the long, impatience, short. What does that do? It indicates shortness of temper, of endurance, and shortness of waiting for what is good. Not waiting for what is good. Being quick to not wait, to stop waiting. You know, and then, you know, really, it that shortness, we don't want to even wait for what's good. We don't ever want to wait for what's true. We don't want to wait for what's right. We want to do our own thing, and then in doing it, we do the wrong thing. So the long is keeping anger in check. The short is not keeping it in check, not waiting patiently for God to bring about what is good, right, and true. That's impatience, my friends. So we can easily remember that, long and short, okay? So let's look at the New Testament concept of patience. When we come to the New Testament, which was written in Greek, we find nouns that relate more directly to patience. The Greek word is related, a few words related to patience is forbearance or long suffering. Now you'll find sometimes it's a little bit hard to decipher, but really forbearance, long suffering, patience, really all talking about kind of the same thing, maybe a little different aspects of it in the context where which it's found. So when you look at patience, long suffering or forbearance, then it is really the quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation, which does not retaliate promptly. It does not react quickly under the pressure of trying circumstances. Now think about yourself. Okay, in the face of provocation, in the face of, you know, pressure, circumstances in our lives, how often do we practice patience? Let me give you one example. A young couple, dating. They are impatient. They will often not go through the right, proper biblical process to find a life partner. And as a result of impatience, they struggle and struggle and struggle with a lot of things. They're not patient with each other. Maybe there's a need to first grow and develop in Christian character. But no, I don't want to wait for it. I want it now, right? And that's just one example. We do that in life all the time. Do you see how important the fruit of patience is in our lives? Well, I'll tell you, when I'm in trying circumstances, let me give you one example. Just recently, about a week ago, I'm driving in the big city of Warman, and it has lights, street lights. And we all know that. And I'm at a street light, and this individual makes a left-hand turn, taking up two lanes, and I'm behind this car. You can imagine what went through my mind. I won't even tell you what I was thinking because it wasn't all good. And I'm thinking, like idling through the intersection, taking up two lanes when I could be already almost to McDonald's. Like what? So impatient. We are so impatient. That's the time when we need the Holy Spirit of God to give us and work through us that fruit of patience. So in trying circumstances, financial circumstances, whatever it may be, sometimes we're unwilling to wait. We don't practice patience. We don't really yield to the Spirit of God to give us that patience. We want something. What do? We're impatient. So guess what? If only they'll let me sign the dotted line and I drive it away, whatever it might be, I'll purchase this, I'll purchase that, I'll purchase that. You know what that causes? Extreme stress in marriages, extreme stress, financial stress in our lives, extreme undue stress, the circumstances that follow, because we were impatient to even save up maybe even a decent down payment, whatever it might be. And I've been guilty of those same things. This is the world we live in. We are impatient people. You know what that tells me? Probably in those areas, we're not in touch with the Spirit of God, because patience is a fruit of the Spirit of God. That means we're not in touch with the Spirit of God. We're not praying about those things. We're not seeking God about those things. We are not asking God to guide us and to lead us and to give us, you know, direction in that, so that we don't have to live with the consequences of all of those impatient decisions. Wow. See how this fits to practical life? Oh my goodness. This is amazing. So, patience, remember, is the quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trials. It is the opposite of despondency, and it is always associated with hope, looking into the future with confidence, knowing that God is bigger than everything I face. That's patience, looking into the future, trusting God. There is many situations and circumstances in life that try our patience, but we can't do anything about those matters many times. We may not be able to change some situations that we face. They're beyond our power to control. Yet, I do know one thing. In those situations, God desires to work in us that fruit of patience. So the Greek term that relates to God's patience is almost universally in reference to people. Ever thought about that? Almost universally in reference to people, sometimes to circumstances. Why do you think God talks so much about patience in reference to people? That's where it's needed most. People need to be patient with me. I need to be patient with others. How many marriages have fallen apart because the fruit of patience wasn't there? Think about it. Wow. So as we look at the scriptures in this sense, we find amazing truth. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. Here is a trustworthy saying that desires full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display what? Paul is saying, he's looking back at his former life, and he's saying, if God hadn't been patient with me, I wouldn't be where I am today. He is saying, God showed mercy so that this immense patience in my life would be an example to those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Wow. So there's that immense patience. 2 Peter 3:9. Does God demonstrate patience? What does it say there? The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Ever been thinking about, well, when is God ever going to get through to my neighbor? When is God ever going to get through to my son or daughter? You know, when are they ever going to surrender? God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish. It is his deepest desire that everyone get saved. That's the quality of God, and that's what God wants to work in our lives. So you know what? If you're praying for someone today and you're not seeing them come in repentance and faith to Christ, keep patiently praying for them. That's what God does or wants us to do. He is patient. So what an example of God's patience towards sinners. God is always wanting truth and righteousness to be embraced by faith. So let's reflect again on the definition of patience. Patience, long-suffering, or forbearance, then, is the quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation, which does not retaliate quickly or promptly. Oh, we are so quick to retaliate. It does not react quickly under the pressure of trying circumstances. I am sure today there is almost everyone here in your life, there is some sort of a trying circumstance. Can I suggest today that we just trust God, the Holy Spirit, to give us that patience, that the fruit of patience might become evident? God does practice great patience towards people because he lovingly respects the will and the choice of those he has created in his own image and likeness. God patiently waits for us to voluntarily respond in faith to conviction and leading of the Holy Spirit. That is what the Apostle Paul had in view when he wrote 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15 and 16, as we just read. So Paul recognizes the importance of patience as a godly attribute, a fruit of the Spirit, held up in his own life, in his own practice, of it as an example to young Timothy, to this young pastor named Timothy. He used the common Greek terms for patience. Now, I'm going to turn just quickly to, I believe it's in 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And I just want to read that because it's really beautiful. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and it's found in verses 10 and 11. Oh, I'm in 1 Timothy. I got to move to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life. What is Paul doing? What is he doing? He's holding up his own life as an example. It is saying, you ever know about all about my teaching, my way of life. He's saying, you've watched me, my purpose, my faith, and patience, love, endurance, and so on. So here he uses the two words, patience with people. You must have watched me, Timothy, that I too was patient with people. You must have watched me, Timothy, that I was also patient in some tough circumstances in life. So he's holding up his own life. Isn't that interesting what he's actually doing there? So another Greek word, less commonly translated as patience, indicates that patience is an attitude of gentleness and humility. See, often when we're impatient, now think about this, somehow gentleness falls by the wayside. You get impatient and you get what? Abrasive. True? Right? Can we identify with that? It's easy to become abrasive. We lose that gentleness. So what does James, the book of James 3:17 say? But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, and then considerate. And that word means gentle, humbly patient. Considerate means that you're gentle and you're humbly patient with others. Wow. So patience indicating, it is actually here in this passage, patience indicating an attitude of gentleness and humility. It's an attribute with shoes on, and so to speak. It works while it waits. Patience means we wait, but it also means it's at work while we're waiting. See, patience is that kind of thing. It works while it waits. You like that? Patience works while it waits. Patience then is actively working and persevering toward a God-honoring end. That's what it is. So that it might be God-honoring, the outcome. The fruit of the Spirit is the outworking of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which enables the believer to wait on God in all circumstances, at the same time demonstrating gentleness and humility. Fourthly, the ultimate meaning of patience. Patience involves waiting, and not only waiting, but waiting with a purpose. If I were to wait without a purpose, I would probably not want to wait. But you know, when we know that there's a greater purpose for us to wait, boy, it changes our focus. It changes our focus. See, the heart of patience is faith in God and his existence, in God and his promises, in God and his authority, in God and his power to fulfill exactly what every promise in his word tells us. That's patience. It has a greater purpose in mind, always believing God for the outcome and that God will bring about what he promises. So from the first book to the last, the Bible offers many examples of people who practice faithful patience, waiting for God, waiting on God, and they determined by faith to persevere and endure to the end because of who God is and the promises of his word. We find that in Hebrews 12 and so on. So true patience is anchored in hope, in the future of God that God promises. And so I'm going to kind of cut my message short a little bit this morning. Can't quite go through everything. But let me just kind of finish off and put some very practical stuff. So when I think about it, the whole idea about patience, it's absolutely very, very interesting. Let's just consider before we close the consequences of impatience. The consequences of impatience. I could preach another message on this, but maybe some other time. Untimely death is a consequence of impatience often. Untimely death. Physical and emotional pain and suffering. Impatience. Now think about that. How that relates, and you'll find that to be true. Broken dreams. Very often, the consequence of impatience. Broken dreams. Troubled relationships. Personal relationships. Stunted character growth or growth in character, often because we're impatient. We just want to have what we want to have. We don't let God do his work. We're too impatient. Compromised integrity. How many Christians have compromised their integrity because they're impatient for something? Even honesty, even in finances, transparency in marriage, transparency with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, we compromise integrity. What we do is we miss the best Christ-like love by impatience and loss of God's ultimate best. Wow. Many sins, let me just say this, can be traced back to impatience. Many sins can be traced back to impatience. Do we see the importance of yielding to the Spirit of God and allowing him to produce the fruit of patience? Patience is the best remedy for trouble. The best remedy for trouble. It is. It is the best remedy when you're facing tough circumstances. Be patient. Be patient. Someone asked me just recently about some advice. I said, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I did say this, but I said it in different words. And I'm going to change your words a little bit just to for privacy's sake. And that was exactly that. Just don't do anything too quickly. Be patient. It's the best advice I could give. That person has come back more than once already and thanked me. That was the best advice I could give. You see, patience leads to great benefits and great rewards. So guess what? Don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. Let's not do that. Let's go to the Spirit of God. So the fruit of patience is not a desperate waiting in doubt. That's not what it is. It is a confident waiting. And it's only made possible through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So patience is that godly characteristic that marks Christians as followers of Jesus. Let's think about that. So I'm going to ask the worship team, and we'll move into communion this morning. We've got, I think, enough time to fulfill that. So let's remember that God himself defined himself as being patient. That was one of the attributes that he said even in the Old Testament. And God himself has given us his word and reminded us that he is patient and doesn't want that one should go lost, not one single individual. God is truly a patient God. And if that is who he is, does he not want to work patience in our lives? Does he not want that? Isn't that powerful? He wants to bless us immensely through the fruit of patience. And so I'm going to ask the people that are serving for communion to come forward and just remind it again that even Paul reflected that when he was speaking to the Corinthian church. He took the bread and then he gave thanks. He broke it. And he said, this is what Jesus said. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so this morning, we want to do just that. We want to distribute the bread. And I want us to think as we take the bread, which is really just symbolic of his broken body. But that was a demonstration that God practiced patience. And at the right time, instead of even, you know, the wrath that we deserved, he placed it all on Jesus. Now that is the greatest demonstration of patience, but the end result is righteous judgment. And God said, I will put it on my own son instead of my creation. Isn't that amazing? Let's pray together. Father God, this morning we thank you for this great time that we can share together. Thank you for your broken body, Lord Jesus, that you went to the cross for us. And now as we do this in remembrance of you, I pray that you would press upon our hearts again how huge this is for us. We've been set free. Your wrath is not directed at us. Jesus, thank you for taking the wrath for me. So we just give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.